Message.
Good morning. Come on up, boys and girls. Good morning. Come and join me up here. Good job. Come right on up. Come right on up. Well, this morning we are ending what has been about a 2-year, oh, good morning. Yes, love you too. Of course. We are ending what is our unit on the armor of God. It's taken about 2 years because on Fifth Sundays I get to bring you the message down here. And I have really loved starting, just being able to study the different parts of the armor in my own quiet time, in my own Bible study by Priscilla. But I hope you've enjoyed it too. And if you can see up here, we have now built our entire soldier. And we've started off, who remembers what the very first one was? The very first thing that Paul in Ephesians asks us to put on. Yes, say it really loud. The belt of truth. And then, yes, breastplate of righteousness. Before the shield of faith, we had my really funky boots, the shoes of peace or fitted feet. Yep, and then we had the shield of faith. And we have two things left, and we're going to cover both today. And the last one really on what I've learned is the word offensive. That's a sports term. An offensive, okay, that's all I know. I would go into more detail, but I'm 95% sure I'd say it wrong. Offense. This is the offense, and the only, this is my husband, he told me this. He said, isn't it weird that everything is offensive, but the only defensive in the whole armor of God is the... Yeah, that makes sense, because I'm going to defend myself with it, is the sword of the Spirit. I feel a little weird having a toddler and a real sword, so just a second. You're going to sit right here. Yeah, this is why she's good. This is why he offered me lots of swords, and I'm like, I just want one, and I just want to show one, and I just want that one to be in a sheath. That is the real word. To keep it protected, I'm going to show it to you one time. Ready? And everyone goes, oohs and ahs. Listen to it. That's the oohs. Ready? Whoa. So this is the only defensive weapon that we see in that whole Ephesians chapter. So keep that in your mind. And the very last thing we put on, because often when we get dressed for the day, we don't want to put on our shoes and then put on our socks, right? Right? So obviously the last thing the soldier's going to put on to battle is his
helmet.
And we call it the helmet of salvation. Now really think about that. Say that out loud. The helmet of
salvation.
So what do we have to have before we can put on that helmet? Salvation. Salvation is? God saved us. And we have to believe it, right? With our whole heart, soul, and mind. That's when we take Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we can put on the helmet of salvation. I'm going to lift this up one time, too, because let me tell you, I don't even want to pretend to put it on my head. But we're just so fortunate to have Mr. Rob Heider, who has all of these fun toys in his house, and he has lent me something for every single sermon. Let's give him a little clap. I don't even know if he's here. We'll clap for him again at 10:30. So see how everything protects him. But it would be really hard to put on the rest of my stuff if my helmet was already on my head, right? The helmet of salvation. So we need to kind of keep that in mind, this big protective piece, when we look at the rest of our Ephesians today. But since it's the last one, I want all of us to read the entire passage together. So can you use your big looking balls over here? You're going to read it with me. Ready? And so are you. Ready? Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. Oh, hold on. Do we hear the grown-ups? Okay, we're going to have to do that again. Ready? Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth. Show me your belts. Belt of truth buckled around your waist. The breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish with all the flaming arrows of evil. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we moved our body at the same time because it makes both hemispheres of our brain have a conversation, right? When I do this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Plus, we're singing a song upstairs where we have to use all these actions. My favorite is that we do this with our shield so that we can do this with our... So everybody, you have your shield and you have your sword. Because I was doing it, you can't have it on the same hand, can you? Well, you just stay there a second, okay? I'll pick you back up in a second. So I wanted you to read the entire passage together because at the very end it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And they place together so nicely that we're doing both today, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. When I think of helmets, when I think of our heads and our brains, I even took a brain class, fascinating. It is a very protective, squishy little thing inside our skull that we have to be very careful with because God only gave us one, right? We just have one brain. And that brain, actually the entire month of Pastor Doug's sermon series taught us all about the brain. It takes in all this information, smells and scents trigger things. Things that go in are stuck in our brain and they're going to come out. I want us to fill our brain with goodness so that what comes out is goodness. If we're listening to awful music, what do you think you're going to start humming in the car? Road rage. Oh, maybe. You know what? If you have road rage, I recommend you change the station. That's a very good point. You know, someone out there needed to hear that today. I am certain. I was thinking you're going to sing something, and then your parents are going to hear you, and then they're going to be like, what? What are you listening to? Right? Because it's going to flow out sometimes without us even concentrating. It's just what's stuck in our brain. If you go to bed at night and I say, and you're playing some sort of music, do you know that when you wake up the next morning, that's the first thing you're going to think about? That tune's going to go through your head. When I was your age, I went to bed with music all the time. The last song that I subconsciously heard before I truly fell asleep was the first song or the tune that was stuck in my head the next day. Now, when I'm teaching you the Christmas musicals in VBS, it is stuck on constant rotation till I think I'm going to go crazy. But I have a cancellation song. It's my little trick. I'll give it to anyone who does not want to think about it anymore. I sing Amazing Grace, and then I go neutral. So if I can't get a VBS song unstuck in my head, I sing Amazing Grace. That's filling me with goodness, right? So then comes out of my mouth is Amazing Grace. Yep. So when we have our heads, we have to protect them. Now, this has never been more important than in the last month. But what do you do with your hands if you're doing a tornado drill? Do you remember grown-ups? You all get down in a crouched position, and the last thing your teachers tell you to do is to take your fingers and clasp them behind your head and protect it so that if debris were to fall on your head, something is stopping it from hitting your head. So that's an important thing your teachers tell you to do. Look at all these things. A football player should not go on the field without his helmet. And let me tell you, they've made even like these new special things that go in the helmet. I would pay all the money in the world if my son was some NFL player to protect their heads from all this extra padding, because I just don't even think that's enough for the hits they take. Firefighters would never go into battle with fire, right, without a very protective helmet. Do you guys wear this when you go biking or rollerblading? This one protects you from bugs. Sun, yep. You know, some of them need to wear it because they don't have as much hair on the top of their head, and then they'll get sunburned, so they need to wear hats to protect it. So if you see your dad getting a little red, you need to give him a hat. That is total truth. I'm not even being sarcastic. This one, I think, came from Mr. Mark because it even says how. You need to wear that when you do stuff, right? Has a pipe ever fell on your head? Oh, good. But could it? A wrench. Or someone above you throwing it down on accident? Good teamwork. So you need to have a helmet on to protect you even in his line of work. We really need this one because we're in the Dakotas. What is this?
Cold weather.
What is it? A stocking cap. Why do you need to put that on? Not because your mom's being super annoying, but because why? Yes, you got these little ears that can get frostbitten. You're like all the warmth comes out of your head. You need to keep the warmth in. And baseball players have helmets too. We all have helmets. We all have something we need to have that protects us. I kind of wear a lot of hats. That's my big joke. I'll hold you again. Come here. So I was thinking, what kind of a helmet would Miss Tarina wear? I'm a mom and a wife, and I'm a teacher and a children's pastor. Can you put that all together? You know what kind of helmet I need? Chaos coordinator. Dun, dun, dun. That kind of suits me, right? So this is my protective hat. It means I have to color code my calendar. I got to know where I am. I got to get people to the spots that they need to be at. I need to do all my tasks, right? So that's my helmet today, as being a chaos coordinator. When I think of all the armor we have to put on to be ready for battle, I obviously think of one of my favorite little soldiers. What do you think his name is? In the Bible. David. Because David was just a little dude. So let's tell the story of David. He is the little brother. He's supposed to just run out all of these like sandwiches and stuff to his siblings. He's supposed to check on his brothers that are at war. And his big job was to be a shepherd. He was a sheepkeeper. He was keeping them safe. He had to keep them safe because who wanted to eat the sheep at night? We could literally say lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. And he had to protect them every single night. So he was kind of at battle in his own job. And what did he come prepared with?
A sling.
A sling. And rocks. And you know what? This part is super important. Did his sling and his rocks come in handy and work before when in battle?
Yes.
So in his brain, he already knew that these weapons protected his sheep, didn't he? Okay, that's really important. So put that in here. David already knew, say that. David already knew that this rock and this sling had protected his sheep. Okay, so now we got to flash forward and he sees his brothers and he kind of literally goes, guys, you're afraid to go fight Goliath? Like, God is on your side here. You need to go to battle. So what does David say? I'll fight. I'll fight you, Goliath. I just love this story. They know this story. They could turn around and tell you guys this story. So he says, I don't know what my brother's problems are. I'm going to go fight. Saul gets a little giddy. He's like, great, I've got a guy here who's going to do this for us when all the other ones are just sitting on the sidelines. But Saul is determined to get him dressed for battle, right? And I don't have time for this today, but I want you to picture, if I had picked like little Miss Thea here, Cora, I was just holding Thea, who was crying in the nursery. If I could get you to do this, I would. Let's pretend that I'm dressing her in this soldier stuff, my littlest person up here, right? If she were to put on a soldier's boots, soldier's jacket, hat, belt, pants, what would she look like? That was the description. Kind of a fumbling mess. If my sleeves are too big for me, can my hands be of any use? If my shoes are too big, I'm going to trip and fall. Does that make me useful in battle? No. If the belt's not even holding up my britches, it's probably not a good belt, right? So he puts all this on and he's like, I can't go to battle with this. I can't even see. If Cora put on this helmet right now, she'd topple over. It's heavy. That would not help her. So he's like, okay, thanks, Saul. I'm going to use my manners here. Thanks, but no thanks. So he takes it all off and he says, I already know that God's got me. I already know. And I know that I need what works for me. And that is my sling and that is my rock. And I think we need to sing that song just to get it fresh in our mind. So if you have not been to Sunday school since you were like 10, channel your inner childhood. Ready? Only a boy named David, only a trickling brook. Only a boy named David and 5 little stones he took. Only a boy named David, only a trickling brook. Only a boy named David, and 5 little stones he took. This is your first time hearing it, welcome. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went into the sling, and the sling went round and round. And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. Till one little stone went up in the air. What do we do? Boom. And the giant came tumbling down. Boom, boom. Does that bring you back to your childhood? They gave me better looks than you guys did. Come on. We've sung that upstairs. That is the story of David. He's like, I'm going to take my stones. I'm going to take my sling. I'm going to take what I know. I'm going to take God's faithfulness. I'm going to take everything that has already sustained me every day in this world, and I'm going to battle. And Goliath was a giant, wasn't he? And did it work?
Yep.
Now, do we know that that stone was just some amazing stone and he picked the perfect one from the trickling brook? No, but we knew that God had this, right? He had that battle ready to fight on David's behalf before he even said yes. But he said yes, and he was faithful, and he was ready. He was ready with everything that we need. And that is the awesome story of David. He didn't need all this armor. He needed to know that he had truth. He needed to know that there was righteousness and faithfulness and feet of peace and his sword of the Spirit and his helmet of salvation. He knew and loved the Lord and was going to serve him faithfully, and he went to battle. I love that story. You know, I have a different special hat that I want to show you today. I can't show, can I? This special hat, I confused some people because I was out of order. This special hat lets all of my thoughts out. Should we see what happens?
I wonder what we're going to eat for lunch today. I am just so hungry.
Did my thoughts come out? Oh, what am I thinking about? Food. Well, yeah, I was thinking about food. How did you know that? Oh my goodness, let's see what else I'm thinking about today.
I just love Boomer. He is such a sweet puppy.
Did you hear that? Oh, who do I just love? Oh, who's Boomer? How did you know that? Because he's my favorite puppy. I know. I just love Boomer. But if I didn't fill my brain with goodness, would I want you to hear my thoughts? Would I want to put on this colander and let it all seep out? No. Let's change to the adults a second. Do we want to know all your thoughts? No. There's a big word called self-control. Let's say it. Self-control. We've talked about that before. Just because we think it doesn't make it goodness or certainly something we want to share with others. But I tell you what, if you fill your brain with as much goodness as possible, out will flow goodness. You want to protect your brain. The way we protect our brain, boys and girls, give me your eyes, really hear this. Get into this habit early in life. You protect your brain by listening to goodness. That's goodness on the radio station. That's goodness in the books that you read. That is goodness in the friends that you keep. You get to walk away if someone is talking about something unkind or evil or negative. You get to walk away from gossip. You get to play with people that bring out your very best. You get to be picky because it is your brain. And your brain is this mushy, growing, learning thing. And even when we're older, we've learned, we can still trick our brain for better, right? We can set good habits. My prayer and my desire for you is that you protect this brain and you allow it to be filled with scriptures, which we'll talk about with the sword of the Spirit in a minute, but I want you to fill it with positive things. So when you go to bed at night, listen to Christian music, read Bible stories, put positivity in your brain so that what seeps out of you is goodness, and people will see that and long for that, and they'll wonder why. And you get to say, it's because I love the Lord. That's why. I love the Lord, and I want to be a shining example for him wherever I go. Now, the sword of the Spirit is what we fill our brain with. So take out your sword. And this Bible verse is perfect with the sword of the Spirit, which, again, fits so perfectly with one that Pastor Doug had last week. Can you kind of see from here? I can't. Hold on. Nope. Lost my notes. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Right and noble. Think about things that are right. What's something that is right? It's right to pray to God. Absolutely. What is right? Helping others. Wonderful. At least two more. What else is right? To love the Lord. Good. What about the word noble? Noble's even kind of a royalty word that people use with kings and queens. They're of noble stature. Their name. Say that again, honey. Noble pony. Is that like from My Little Pony, maybe? Are there noble ones? Something that's noble. Something noble that you could do today at recess, something noble, is to play with someone who has no one to play with. Does any of your schools have the lonely bench, the bench where you get to sit if you have no one to play with? Have you seen kids sit there? Every day what, honey? Oh, bless your soul. He says a lot of kids sit there, and he asks to ask them a lot every day because someone is sitting there. Oh, we just have to clap that. That is an amazing thing that schools have been doing that I just love, because sometimes it's hard with our introverted spirits to say, will you please come play with me? So it's kind of being able to sit and have an unspoken conversation with a stranger, right? They're communicating something, but guess what? When someone's communicating that, you have to see it. You have to notice. You have to notice somebody needing a good friend. And then you have to do something. That's being very noble. That's a noble thing to do. So think of things that are right and things that are noble. And every day, and I really want to encourage all of my boys and girls and parents, when you get your take-home sheets, there is a scripture verse on there every single Sunday. And it's an opportunity to open up your Bible, to study scripture, to memorize it. And then, of course, I always reward it with some sort of like sugar, kind sugar, like fruit snacks. But I reward your efforts, right? And it doesn't matter if you say it in a group. It doesn't matter if you say it by yourself. It doesn't matter if you say it along with the teacher, because we all have learning styles and comfortability. It just matters that you, what? Tried. So just say, I just have to try. Say it.
I just have to try.
Every week I give you a Bible verse that I want you to try. And then we've got those big ones that we study and memorize for months, like Psalms 23 and the Lord's Prayer. And you guys would just be amazed when you hear all of their hard efforts. John 3:16 and 17 for the littles. Ten Commandments and the fruit of the Spirit that we can rattle off our minds. You know how much I love to rattle the fruits of the Spirit. I need all of those every day so that I can be noble and notice and be kind and true to somebody. That is what the sword of the Spirit is. Can you take out your Bible? So do I. Yeah, we like gum. Take out your Bible. Show me. Show me your Bible. I want you to read it. And if you don't have a Bible that you're jazzed about, come and see me, because I have all kinds. I have Bibles that are adventure Bibles. I have Bibles that are princess Bibles and knights. And one is adventure, one is like outback kind of. I have pictures of it in my mind. I have ones that take you through scriptures, and it goes 365 days if you want to read it in a year as a kiddo. Find something. I have the Action Bible if you like graphic novels. Find something you're jazzed about reading, and if you can't, come to my office and I will point you to one, because I want you to take it out every day. Have your sword. And I have a big challenge for you. On October 3rd, which is at the end of this week, it is called Bring Your Bible to School Day. Who would like to take part in that? Yes, wouldn't that be fun? We even had that when I was a teenager. And maybe our grown-ups can join the challenge and you bring your Bible to work. Don't read it if it's going to get in trouble, whatever. But I get to read my Bible every day because of my two jobs, but I know it would be a challenge and something that might make an uncomfortable moment for you become comfortable. And I would love for you to do that. So if you bring your Bible on October 3rd to school, you get to come and tell me on Sunday morning and tell the whole Sunday school class. Yes. That's great. Yes, my kids sometimes have just put it in their backpack and had it because they were in the middle of reading something and they wanted to pull it out and read it during free reading time. Dirt? Daily independent reading time. Read your Bible during dirt. That would be an excellent goal this week. That is your sword of the Spirit. You cannot fight the world's battle if you don't have scriptures in your mind so that you believe it in your heart so it can flow through your mouths. And that is my prayer for you. I pray that you put on your whole armor of God, and you can even pray those prayers, or give me your belt of truth. Give me feet of peace. Give me the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the Spirit. Give me my shield of faith and my helmet of salvation, so that I'm ready to be in this world and not of it. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for the Paul's word in Ephesians. I just thank you for the way that these characters just play in our brains. We know that it is something that we can trigger in our creative thoughts of how you really want us to dress in this world. I pray that these words would be true to these boys and girls' hearts and minds, that they would be filled with your goodness and your scriptures, and that they could be in this world and be a bright light. Lord, we love you and we praise you for a time just to be in your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When you meet me at the chairs, I have your own little version of your helmet of salvation. And I even have your own little sword of the spirit. Oh, that's my boomer voice. I'll go get the sword of the spirit. It's in my office. But meet me at the chairs. Thank you, boys and girls.